the Elite Life Podcast. With your hosts, Tricia and Kylie. Here, we guide you on a journey of personal and professional transformation. Revealing the secrets to success. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, join us as we unlock the doors to the elite world of growth, grit, and grace. So, let's dive in.
Welcome, 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 friends, to another episode of the Elite Life Podcast. We are so excited to have you here today. Today's guest is someone you may remember from a past episode, Nicole Hughes.
Yay!
Last time she was on, we got to explore her work in franchising, wellness, and leadership.
Yeah, but a lot has changed since then. So Nicole is now a certified holistic coach. We're going to have a session after this podcast recording. Intuitive consultant and founder of the Embody Shop, a lifestyle brand rooted in presence, nervous system awareness, and intentional living. I love that so much.
Mm-hmm. I do too. She supports others on her wellness and embodiment journeys through practices and resources that prioritize alignment over achievement and wholeness over hustle. Oh, this is why she's here with me all week long, all week long, friend. She also extends this care to pets, offering grounded, heart-centered support that honors their routines, emotional needs, and sense of safety while their humans are away. Another reason why she's here with me. She will be watching Ollie and Billy. So, Nicole, welcome back. Catch us up on life. We are so excited to have you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. It's also so nice to be in person because last time.
We were virtual.
Yeah. We were virtual because I was living in Arizona.
Yes.
So I am back in Michigan. Let me go ahead and say this is temporary because your girl has spent one winter here and I am not built for this. I can tell you that.
When I lived in Phoenix, I lived in Phoenix for about 2 years and it was such a culture shock moving out there. But I met so many Midwest like transplants. It surprised it shocked me. Yeah. And then I came back after my grandma died because we had no one else out there and I had a brand new baby. And I was like, this is awful. My mom's like, while you were gone, you missed the polar vortex. And I'm like,
darn shock.
Doggone it. Dodge that bullet. So I feel you, sister. Yeah. I feel you there.
Yeah. And that's one of the things, having grown up in Michigan, I lived here most of my life. And then I moved to Arizona because I wanted, you know, to be active and outside and be warm. And, you know, it's definitely softened me up.
We're just trying to be warm out here.
No, we're going to be on our lizard thing in the sun. Yeah.
You know, and it's so funny, too, because it's such a harsh climate, and it actually, like, caused me to soften. And so that's kind of part of, like, what we're talking about today is, like, what I experienced. And Arizona was a huge part of my journey in actually, like, coming back to myself and getting into my own rhythms. And so, yeah, and then I'll seek my next geographic area that allows me to not be freezing all of the time.
And I will continue to come visit.
You are more than welcome. Bring the dogs because I love the dogs. So I'm really excited to be here to kind of talk about, you know, when we were speaking last time, I was really in the midst of my just like I was hustle harder, optimize everything, high achieving. You know, we were talking about my career in franchising and you're right. So much has changed since then. It was like, you know, I'm accumulating these promotions, and I even had an article written about me in Blueprint Magazine.
Yay!
Women in construction, like what?
It's just amazing. It was a beautiful article.
So amazing, right? But like at the end of the day, it wasn't even about like construction. It was about the way that I showed up as a leader and who I was, you know, intrinsically. There's so many things that I want to share. So I guess we can kind of, you know, maybe like dive.
Let's dive in.
Dive into a topic. So, but one of the things, you know, for me is that I continued on this path and, you know, kept hustling. And ultimately I reached this point. And again, this is a long journey for me with my nervous system. We talked about yoga last time. My yoga journey started in 2011. Mm-hmm. And the basis for it was not exercise. Like, you know, here in the West, we do a lot. It was because I was having panic attacks back in 2011. And so this is actually like my journey has always been a nervous system system safety. Alignment, yeah. Yes. Like, I've been called to this for a long time. And so now I've finally decided to stop resisting and just step into alignment to the work that I've been called to do. And so, yeah. And so that's kind of where the Embody Shop, you know, really came to life. And funny enough, and Trish, I don't even know if I've told you this before, but I had created the Embody Shop in Arizona. I, you know, was learning all these different modalities, became a yoga teacher. I became a level 2 Reiki practitioner. And so I started doing Reiki, which is essentially energy work, but it's ultimately we're working on like the nervous system and helping people to feel safe within their body.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it was just something that kind of popped up one day and I ran with it. I didn't take a lot of time to really think, but I was like, ooh, the Embody Shop. And it kind of sounded like a body shop, like the mechanics of the body. And I'm like, oh, that's cute. I'm going to run with it. Not realizing that this was going to unravel into this full theme of like living in embodiment. And like, I didn't even really truly understand what the word embodiment at the time when I created my LLC.
Yeah.
And now embodiment is the way that I live and the way that I show up and what I'm teaching other people.
So tell us a little bit more about that, because you didn't share that story with me, and you're using the word embodiment often and talking about the nervous system and safety in the nervous system. So like, what does that mean in everyday terms? Like, let's break it down for the, you know, stay-at-home moms out there that may not be into yoga yet or into these growth phases and stages, but they are feeling that stress and tension.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So, you know, for me, embodiment is living in alignment with your truth. And it's this, you know, I think that in the world that we're living in, so many of us in our bodies, we're basically living from the neck up. It's all in our brain. And so it's the process of reconnecting to this full body. You know, we're in a world right now where, you know, we're talking a lot about an artificial intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the really important thing is like, we already have this innate intelligence that we came equipped with in our body, like in our soul. And so it's really just like coming back to that and getting to know like who we are, what brings us joy, what gifts we did come to this world with, and then living from that place.
I love that, because I feel like you're taught as a kid, like we talk about like old programming, you're taught like to be quiet and like don't cry and like just shove down all of your feelings. So I sometimes think about that, like you're programmed like that. So when you grow up and you start to feel these feelings, instead of feeling those feelings, it's like, well, let me numb them with food or Netflix or alcohol, yeah, or whatever the case may be. And so it's hard to tap back into that.
Yeah. You know, let me just say that the work that I do is mostly speaking from experience. I have walked through the fire. I have lived a lot of these experiences. And I ultimately have a master's degree in self-abandonment.
Okay.
So,
I have one in self-sabotage. So,
you know what? I had a season of that as well. So.
And I must be a double major in both of them.
Yeah. And so, you know, and I think, gosh, like, you know, I don't want to talk negatively, but we hear a lot of things these days. And it's like, oh, like, you know, you got to be calm all the time. And it's not like, it's really not about that, about being calm, but it is about being able to, you know, kind of center yourself and find those moments of calm and find those moments of peace, even if it's just a couple of seconds, like reminding yourself, reminding your body, you know, when we talk about nervous system safety, like, I'm safe. Like, yeah. I'm literally safe within my body. Everything is fine. And listening to your intuition, like, we have that connection. We have the clarity is within. It's just all of the noise that we're processing, which just keeps increasing and increasing. And so it's just always that, like, the ability to just kind of, like, take a breath and come back to it and just know, like, you're good. You've got everything that you need.
Yeah. What do you think are some ways that we kind of unknowingly create stress and burnout? Like, what are the signs we are nearing that breaking point of like, okay, it's not just I'm stressed all the time. Like, I'm about to
go to prison.
Yes.
I will say, you know, this resonates with me so hard, because I feel like between like work, like we're constantly on the phone. My three children are constantly like grappling for my attention. And I find myself feeling overstimulated from the moment. And I want to be there with my children and I love them and I love my job and I love my clients. But finding the ability, and I feel like it's this, I feel like it's this like this barrier, like this brick wall that I hit where I just can't figure out how to get over and how to come to a place of just like that woosah, like that peace, that realignment. And like you were asking, like, what are some signs? Like, I've noticed when I start getting snappy. Like, last night I was so overstimulated for several reasons, like one of them being hormonal, right? And I noticed I was snapping at Ryan. I was snapping at the kids. And I was like, I just want this day to be over. Get everybody in bed. And that's awful. That is awful because I just went to work all day and my kids were gone all day. And my son, who's going to be four, goes to daycare all day. And I realized that, like, my children spend most of their lives with other people. And here I am with these precious hours with them. And I'm like, I just want it to be over.
Yeah.
So if you could help me fix that.
So, yes, I can. but what I want to start with is, like, we should not have any shame about this, because the reality is that culture has basically, like, I don't know, they've normalized this over-functioning. Mm. Where, honestly, I think this is my biggest message and the thing that I've realized and that, you know, we can talk about a little bit. But it's that this society and this culture and this way that we're all living right now is completely in opposition of what our natural rhythms are.
Yes.
We are not meant to be living at this pace. We are not meant to be navigating all of these things. We're glorifying hustle culture. And it's like, at what cost? Like, at what cost is this? And so, you know, you asked, you know, what are some of the signs? And Kylie, you said a lot of them. And, you know, it's become this thing where it's these just general everyday habits that we're not even realize that we're all doing now. Like, very first thing in the morning, we grab our phone and we're checking our email and we're scrolling and whatever. We're priming our nervous system before we've even given ourselves a chance to regulate.
Mm.
It's like we're jumping right into that. When I started with the Embody Shop, I have a program. It's a 12-session program called the Embody Lab. And basically I call it the Embody Lab because we're basically doing an experiment on ourselves, because we're each individual, even though we have shared experiences and similarities and all of that, we have to kind of figure out what works best for each of us individually. And one of the things that my clients always kind of giggle about is because I really strip this down to the basics, and we will get into eating. Mm. And we do this exercise where I actually have them do a 20-minute meal sitting down. And we count how many times we chew. And the meal needs to take 20 minutes. So that's actually one of the hidden ways that we're stressing ourselves out, is like rushing through meals.
Oh, yeah. I eat like I just got out of prison.
I was going to say, do. I shower in 4 minutes. Yeah. I eat in like 2.5.
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean 20 yeah. minutes? I can't even imagine sitting in like, but I don't yeah. chew my food. Like, that's something I've been noticing lately. Like, we've had steak quite a bit and I'm like, that's it. Got to go to bed. It's 10 p.m.
Digestion will be a whole other episode that we'll talk about with that. But a funny anecdote, by the way, when I was younger, I was always the last one at the table because I took so long to eat. So I overcompensated. And as I was getting older, started eating really, really fast. Well, it actually triggers a stress response in your body. So, yeah. So
I always say I'm a fast consumer. Like, when I drink, when I eat, like, I'm a fast consumer. See how we, like, yeah. we, like, we give ourselves, what is the word I'm looking for? Like, not we give ourselves excuse. We try to, like, make up
rationalize.
These stories. Rationalize. That's yeah. the word I'm like. Thank you.
It's called gaslighting.
We're rationalizing all of our bad habits. Like, it's totally rational. It's fine.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, it's one of those things. And then another one is people pleasing. And that shows up in so many forms. But, you know, it's one of these things where we're just like, okay, like, I, you know, my worth is attached to my utility. So I have to say yes. And I need to show up for this person and help this person. Also, I'm a really good person and I'm here to serve. And so obviously I can't say no. But that's the farthest thing from the truth. It's, you know, when we do say no, we're actually honoring ourselves. And then we can end up showing up in greater ways.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you know, and one of the things that ultimately led me to this was, like, I'm guilty. I went into full clinical burnout. Like, I just kept ignoring all of these signs. I kept, you know, creating these habits that were not so great for myself. So yeah, full on burnout. And so signs of that, you know, it's like, if you're always on, I would say, Trish, like, you know, go, 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 go.
Yeah.
And doing those things. you know, if you're going to bed at night or wake up in the morning and you've got this sense of dread, if you've got the Sunday scaries, you know, those are some of the indications that it's coming. You hit the nail on the head because you were talking about your tolerance. So you're starting to get shorter with people, with kids, you know, people you love, even perfect strangers. You know, if you look around, I think we can look at our friends, we can look at our family, we can look at strangers, and we can see that everybody is on edge, you know. So these are just some of the signs that you're starting to approach it. So
yeah, one thing that was like such an aha moment to me, and I forget when it happened. It was recently, like in the last year, when I was doing work with you, and maybe it was 2 years ago, and we were talking about like eating late at night, and something clicked, and I'm like, you know why I sit and eat late at night in my bed? It's because I am trying to prolong going to sleep because I know when I wake up, I gotta do all this stuff again. Yeah. And it's like, you don't wanna go to bed because you know you gotta wake up. And I'm not actively thinking like this. I'm just like, I'm working as late as possible to eat as late as possible because I wanna stay up as late as possible because if I wake up, I gotta do it all over. And I just checked everything off my Google calendar. And I remember that was such an moment, and I was like, holy crap, I'm trying to teach Kylie, but I learned something about myself.
Yeah.
And I think that's such a big thing, because when you're high performers like we are, you have to be so open to also, like Pastor Stephen says, like, I'm preaching to myself, and understanding, like, you're coaching other people, but like, are you doing these things? And I think it's really easy to put blinders on, and you're coaching other people to self-care and to do these things,
and then you're over here with a bar of Irish Spring on your face.
Exactly. Like, where's my self-care, right? But that's an inside job. And I love what you're saying, because you're not anti-ambition. No. You're not anti-success. You're helping people reshape their relationship with it. And, like, what do you think that looks like? Like, let's help some people, because I know, like, Trisha circa maybe even last year, sometimes even last night, it's like, what do you mean I can't hustle and grind? You know, like, how am I going to make money and pay my bills? So, like, help the people out there that maybe haven't started to crack open a little bit and be open to this.
Yeah. You know, one of the things, and thank you for saying that, because, you know, honestly, I'm a huge fan of ambition, and I'm still a huge fan of optimizing things, right? Like, I think that's important. But we're redefining ambition. And so it's honoring your energy. It's honoring your values. It's honoring your time. For me, it was, you know, I found myself in one of my corporate careers, or jobs in my career, where I felt like we were having these strange conversations about, like, oh, you know, she has such a great work ethic. And the conversation was like, yeah, I didn't eat yesterday. And, oh, I was up until 3 a.m. working on this thing. And I was like, wait a minute, I'm sorry. Like, when did these become badges of honor that were, you know, abandoning our values and, like, and our energy and everything? And so, you know, really kind of like shifting from that external validation to, like, that internally guided goals, like really tapping into, like, what is important to me? Who do I want to be? You know, just having more of a focus on that. Because honestly, this whole, like, hustle and survival pattern thing is exhausting. So setting boundaries and having self-compassion, those are leadership tools, first of all, like, not weakness. It's those are really important. And boundaries can be a whole other conversation that we can have too. I mean, maybe we just do a week. We'll just do a whole series on all of the things that I'd love to share that I painstakingly went through to get through to this point, which I'm so grateful for. I love the work that I do now. So, but yeah, and you know, it's about leading from a regulated state and not perfection. You know, I think everybody is like, we've got social media, and so it's this, you see all of these things that you think you're supposed to do, but in reality, it's like, if you got behind the scenes, you would see, like, there's it's not as pretty as it looks. So we need to focus on being human. I think that's really important, showing respect for each other, creating space for stillness within ourselves. So even if it's just a couple seconds, like, I'll you know, and I can give some examples, but, and just trusting your inner guidance, like, you know, if you're feeling a call or a pull towards something, it's like, and then that moment you're like, but, or what if, it's like, no, clock it right there. You already know your next step. So just follow that. Like, mm-hmm. trust that what you're feeling is the right thing. So, you know, so there's some simple things, you know, when you ask like some practical things for people who are like, what is she even talking about right now? She's yapping away and this all sounds very weird and woo, which is funny because these are like the intrinsic basic principles. And I was the same, you know, I was just like, oh my gosh, this is, these people are weird. Like, what are they talking about? What do you mean use my own breath? Like, it couldn't possibly be that simple. That's the other thing, right? We overcomplicate everything. And it really is that simple. And so some of the things that I recommend, you know, especially for, I get questions all the time, like, hey, I don't have the opportunity to slow down. Like, I'm a real estate agent. This culture is very fast moving. We've got deadlines. Like, it doesn't work like that. Let me tell you, everybody has the opportunity to slow down for a second. Yeah. Or 5 seconds, yeah. Or 10 seconds. So, you know, it's even like transitional things where like you're getting out of the car and you just do a body scan. So you're just like, okay, like you tap and you just kind of like take the sensation, like how do my feet feel? You know, kind of like basically just the body parts, like, okay, my knees, my belly, my heart, how does my heart feel? How does my head feel? And just, again, then just saying like, I am safe and let's go. I got this, you know, so just those moments of just like tuning back in can help. There's different techniques in breath work that you can do, box breathing. Sometimes it's just as simple as like taking an inhale.
I'm over here breathing.
Box breathing is one of the first things I started doing it. And actually my...
Is that where you breathe in a box?
No. So my friend Alicia, she is a police officer. She's a mm-hmm. sergeant and she works SWAT and like when people hostage situations.
Yeah.
She has to be able to like calm people. So when I was going to speak on stage for the first time with Brian Fullerton and she texts me and she's like, how are you doing? And I'm like, I am freaking out. And she's like, okay, like you breathe in for 4, you hold it for 4, you breathe out for 4, and then you like leave it out for 4. And like in my head, like imagine a box. And I'm sure everybody maybe does this a little different, mm-hmm. but that has been such a crucial technique for me. All the time when you're going to speak on stage, when you're nervous to go to a listing presentation, when you're nervous about a hard conversation, like anything. And not to like segue you out of your groove, but when you talked about like taking a minute. So yesterday I had an appointment and I had told the people that I knew I would need to talk to that day. I'm like, I'm not going to be available until noon. Well, I got out of the appointment at 11:30 and I got into my car and for some reason I was like, you know what? You got a little bit of extra time right now. Put on Insight Timer. I think like something popped up on my phone or something, like Insight Timer, like reminder or something to set your intention for the day. And I was like, you got a couple minutes. So I literally just like sat in my car in the parking lot and put on Sarah Blondin. She's my favorite on Insight Timer. And I just sat there for like, it was supposed to be 7 minutes. At 5 minutes, I think I got a phone call, but I was like, that's pretty sweet. Like just that 5 minutes to just stop. And inside I kept going, no, you got to get here. You got to get here. And then my other voice is going, no, bro, you don't. Like everybody doesn't expect you to be anywhere till noon. You have 30 minutes before anybody has an expectation to reach you. Like take these minutes. Yeah. And I think that that's important to note that you are your own worst enemy because you have these two warring people inside of you. And one of the things like I noticed is I could not sit. And I use that as an excuse for so long. Like, oh, I want to meditate, but I just can't. I just can't. I'm not a sitter.
It's hard for me to sit.
But that's garbage. Like, that's your sign. Like, that is your sign that there is a problem you need to address. And here's the thing. Like, in life, if you are making excuses why you can't, that is your, like, woo, 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 woo. This is a problem. Because there's nothing you can't. Especially sit.
Yeah.
And be calm. Like, if you can't, then this is something that you need to address immediately.
Yeah. Those are, you know, I love that example because with what I went through, it was, there was the whispers and there was the excuses, and your body only whispers for so long before it screams. Mm-hmm. And so it's that, you know, honestly, tough conversations with yourself, but just saying, you know what, like I'm saying I can't, which is also funny because we'll find other things. We're like, I'm going to do this, and we set out and we get it done. But when it comes to ourselves, it's like, ooh, yeah, I couldn't possibly like sit still for 10 minutes, but... Yeah.
But I'll go run a marathon. That's fine. Not sitting for right, 5 minutes.
Right. Yeah. But again, that's like the outward performance, the achievement and whatever. And so it's the, I get it. Going inward is the difficult work, but honestly, it's life changing.
Yeah. So you talked about like different tangible tools. Like, what do you think that looks like in real life?
Yeah. So even as you're talking about like your guys' work and stuff, so it can be turning off your phone for 20 minutes using the do not disturb between calls. Mm-hmm. It can be reclaiming your mornings. And so I'm very intentional with my mornings. I don't meet or greet anybody until I have had time to meditate. I have had time to journal like that. Those early moments are mine. And that's how I set myself up for the day. And by doing that, everybody gets the best version of me. So that is my time, and I can give myself that, so then I can give to other people. So that is huge. Like if it's 5 minutes, if it's 10 minutes, you know, I have people tell me, oh, I've got kids. Like, I don't have that.
You do.
You do. Mm-hmm. You absolutely do.
You might have to get up at 5 a.m. to have that.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you have that.
Yeah. And when we used to go to RBT, I used to wake up at 4 a.m. so I could meet her at the gym at 5, and it's dark and it's whatever, but I knew that was the only time I was going to get all day. I had 4 kids in 4 different schools and 4 different lunches and 4 different drives and all of these things. Yeah. But I could wake up at 4 and go meet my friend and work out. And that was the best part, not the best part of my day. My kids are the best part of my day, but it was the best part for me of my self day.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is one of those conversations too that I have with clients. If we don't have enough time, then let's do an evaluation about what we're valuing, because there may be some things that we can remove from the mix.
Ooh, that's so good. Time audit.
It always comes back to the time audit. Son of a gun. When we first started life coaching, she was like, you have to do a time audit. And for 3 days, I just kept track of everything that I did. And it was so revealing.
It is.
So revealing. And now I make sure that I hit my numbers so I don't have to do a time audit again. But it is. I'm falling. I find that it's, you know, just like an ebb and flow with life. As seasons change, sometimes you do fall back into those patterns. But yeah, it's definitely a helpful tool.
Yeah, we're going to take a little quick break, but make sure you come back. Nicole has so many more amazing resources and tips and tools from us, and I am loving this conversation.
Me too.
Did you know that over 80% of real estate agents call it quits within their first year in the business? It's a staggering statistic, but at mystarsacademy.com, we're here to change that narrative. Our expert-based training and coaching program caters to both agents and brokers. The Agent Accelerator Program is your key to leveling up your real estate business. Learn how to generate a constant flow of free leads, convert those leads into loyal clients, and keep them coming back for more as repeat business. Our industry experts bring years of proven success to the table and provide one-on-one coaching to help you achieve structure and work-life balance. We'll map out a plan for you to follow, guiding you through the steps to scale and grow both in your business and personal life. Don't become another statistic. Visit mystarsacademy.com and enroll today to pave the way for your future success.
And we are back chatting with Nicole Hughes, founder of the Embody Shop. She is sharing with us so much greatness. And if you could just recap, maybe somebody's just tuning in or joining somebody else that's listening, some of the practical tools for regulation and alignment to just get back in touch with us inside.
Yeah. Absolutely. And so with the tools, I do just want to kind of caveat that, you know, I feel like there are different times for different tools. And so, and we have so many, you know, this is what I work with my clients on is discovering what tools we have in our toolbox and then kind of working through to figure out, you know, which ones are going to work for you. So I can speak for myself. I have come to learn that nature is my number one tool. And it's funny, you know, with the moves and everything that we talked about, I was always chasing nature. Like I was trying to be outside all year. And so like with hiking, it was like, oh my gosh, this is incredible. I just spent some time down in the Carolinas. Turns out live oaks with Spanish moss hanging from them just like rearranges something within my soul. And it was like, it's the most incredible thing. So nature is a natural regulator. And I've gone down so many rabbit holes just learning about this. But it's like we've been given this gift of nature, and then we're creating these worlds in which we are disconnecting ourselves from it more and more and more. And so, you know, I'll find myself, even if I'm in back-to-back calls, I will give myself a little bit of space and I'll just step outside. I take my shoes off. I put my feet on the ground right in the grass, and I just take a couple of breaths and like reconnect to the earth. And it just brings everything right back to center. So nature's amazing. Even listening to the sound of birds, I think we tune that out so much. And this was something that I've never really been a fan of birds. Sorry, birds, don't come at me. but I found this appreciation for them in the Carolinas. I would, you know, sit there and I would just kind of like watch the way that they would fly and listen to the sounds that they made, started figuring out which ones were communicating. And it's like, am I that age? Like, am I a bird watcher?
You're birding.
See, I'm with you. I love birds. I would never want one as a pet in my house.
I'm good.
Literally never. But I love off our back porch. We have all these beautiful flowering trees. And I often just sit there. And I took a video one day and put it on my stories, like the sound on video. And it was just the sound of the rain with all of the birds singing good morning. And I was just like,
Yes, these sounds have, oh my gosh, like they're just so healing to the body. So yeah, no, I get it. It's great. I love that so much. Yeah, just, I mean, really anything nature, just learning to appreciate that and leave the birds out in nature. That's where they belong.
Amen. What's interesting about that to me is though, so I did some work with a coach one time, and he was walking me through visualizations, and he was like, visualize a safe place. And what I visualized, like I was like running through my mind trying to find something, and what came to me was Indian Springs, where I run through the woods. And in that, like later on when I was reflecting, I'm like, that's so interesting that that's what I chose. So it's funny because even when you don't realize it or don't know it, it's happening. Mm-hmm. It's happening. Like that just for whatever reason, because nature is a regulator. I didn't know that. But that is what came up in my mind as my safe place was the middle of the woods, which should be kind of creepy when you're running through the woods. All the time I will message Nicole and I'm like, I'm running through the woods.
Well, I think.
By myself.
Yeah. I think like that, you know, regardless of what your faith is, I think that the reason it's such a regulator is because we, for lack of a better way of putting it, we're part of the earth. We come from the earth. We are creatures that walketh upon the land. And so, like you said, we live these lives that are so disconnected from what we were initially built for. Mm-hmm. And I talk to Ryan a lot, like as we're reading through the Bible, which is our faith. And I'm like, man, he lived to be 900. And I think it comes back to what you said about living at the pace we live at. I think, I'm not saying we could all live to 900. I'm not saying you even want to do that. Right. But I'm just saying, I think that with the increased trajectory at which we live life, it's like you talk about all the time how you only have so many chemicals when you wake up in the morning. Like we only have so much speed. And so the faster you live your life, a lot of times, like that's really what, I don't know what I'm trying to say. Do you feel me? Does somebody out there feel me? Can I get an amen? Well, I'm preaching to somebody.
And it's so funny because we've also developed these things. So to both of your points, I'm thinking of a time that I did a meditation and I was supposed to go to a place that made me happy. And in my mind, I actually started trying to force these places. Mm-hmm. And my brain kept going back to like, all of a sudden it's like dropping me into the woods. And I'm like, there's this path and there's all these like wispy trees and stuff. And I was like, no, that's not it. It's this, and it's this vacation, and it's this really beautiful, you know, cabin that I was at or whatever. And my brain was just like, it's not. And it just kept like in the like meditation, it just kept taking me back.
Yeah.
And it was like, okay, I finally had to surrender to that. And I was like, oh my gosh, okay, yes, you're right. Like, but that is that that was like the place where I felt safe, where I was like, okay, this is where I feel regulated.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just like when they say like, go hug a tree, I'm like, do it. Hug the tree. I'll even take a picture for you so you can post it on Instagram. Okay.
That reminds me of the part in You Pray Love where she's like, I literally kissed the tree. And I'm like,
Yes. So the interesting thing, you know, and I want to share is that this kind of leads to the other practice that we can do, which is the gratitude practice. And so while I'm in the Carolinas recently, I'm spending all this time with nature. Like, I'm like, okay, you know, what's the next best thing that I can do today? And I'm like, I'm going to go sit and watch the birds and I'm going to feel the sun on my body. And you know, we talk about all of the time. It's like, okay, you know, have you done a gratitude journal where you write down, you know, three things that you're grateful for each day? Have you done this practice, either of you?
I do mine, and I don't always write mine down, but like when I pray in the morning, that is the first thing I do. Thank you, God, for waking me up. Thank you for giving me my faculties. So it's part of my morning ritual is to thank God for all of the things and then ask him for some help.
And that's okay. Absolutely. Ask, you know, the universe and God, they're not on a budget. So, but the thing is that as I'm planting myself into this space, instead of the, sitting at my desk right before the workday gets started where I'm about to work, you know, from 7:30 to 10:30 at night and really quickly write down the three things I'm grateful for, which is like, I'm grateful for this coffee being warm today. And, you know, I'm grateful. What am I grateful for? I just was in this natural state of gratitude. And maybe for the first time in my life, where like all of a sudden I didn't have to grasp and think. It was just this like emotion of like I was embodying gratitude. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh.
Sometimes I find that like my gratitude moments can't be defined by thank you for, thank you for, thank you for.
Yeah.
There are so many times like, oh, don't cry. Stop it. There are so many times I find myself where I'm, like you said, my heart is just full. And so there's no way to define or limit my gratitude. I'm just like vertically pointed. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. It's a good feeling, y'all. If you ain't got there, you need to find that space.
Honestly, it's incredible. And I think, you know, you were going to cry. I've cried so much lately, and it's been such a beautiful thing because I used to talk about it. I'm like, what do I got to do? Like, watch a Lifetime movie or something to, like, get some tears going?
Oh, no, I don't do feelings. Woo. I don't cry. I cried on Ross's show.
And yes.
I don't cry.
All of us are, like, sobbing.
Oh, my gosh. Wait till you watch that episode. You are going to lose everything.
Okay. Yeah, I'm excited. It's my new favorite pastime is crying, but it's because, like, I'm safe in my body. I'm reconnected, and I'm actually feeling, like, I'm feeling my way through life, actually genuinely feeling my way through life, and I love that, and it has, you know, just finding this presence with people and arriving at this place where, you know, I feel like at least for me, it's no longer about performing. I just get to show up in my full authentic self, be present for people, and be a place where they can, you know, come to me with the things that they are feeling or confused about, and I allow them to be seen and I allow them to be heard, which is things that I needed. Like, I asked for help too, right? Like, arrived at a place where I was like, okay, I gotta navigate through this. And now I get to do that. And so I feel this immense gratitude for the ability to do that, to offer that to people and then to help them kind of navigate their way through, connect them with the tools, you know, reestablish their goals and redefine ambition and find that alignment so that they can feel the same thing that I'm feeling.
Yeah. And just to touch on like the journaling. So another thing I say is I can't journal. Like, nothing just comes to me like you. I'm like, oh, just I'm happy for this coffee, like whatever. So last night, Dave bought me this journal and it was like sitting on my bed a few weeks ago. And so a few, like this week, like earlier this week, I was like, okay, once I get into bed, like I'm really working at, I've wanted to always have a nighttime routine. Like I'm always good with the morning routine and like not checking my phone and stuff like that. That's been established and I've got that working good, but I could never like really work out a night routine. And so like this week, it's really been like a hardcore focus of mine. And so I was sitting and I've been writing in this journal every night, and it was so interesting because last night I was writing in it. And I was reflecting on everything like we've been doing for the last few days. And I actually wrote, like, I'm proud of myself for taking care of myself so well. And I think like that's when you realize like some changes have really been made, because I think I spent the last 43 years of my life trying to make everybody else proud of me. And I think that like graduating was really a defining moment for me, because it wasn't about like, it was really amazing to know that like my mom and dad were in the stands and Trent was in the stands. And Derek Jeter talked about like having those people that you're working hard for. And I had always said, you know, Trent was a big reason that I was working. When I was a kid, it was my parents and then it was Trent. But when I sat there, like I was proud of me. And I think like, that's such a transitional moment. And when you're sitting and you're really writing like from your heart and soul, and you can say you're proud of you for taking care of you, because at the end of the day, like nobody's gonna take care of you like you can. And if you're not taking care of yourself and you're not proud of yourself, you will never fully be able to move forward.
Yeah.
Oh, and man. Now I'm going to cry.
Yeah, no, I was feeling. Like the lump in the throat was there. But, you know, I've been there. And, you know, that was my career in franchising was, honestly, it was my life. I'm going to be honest with you. I chased a life that I feel like I was told to want. Yeah. And with each thing, you know, I was the first one to graduate college in my family. And I was like, okay, you know, I had this vision of like, oh, there's going to be this huge celebration. And everyone's going to be like, oh, amazing job or whatever. And mind you, I was working three jobs. And, you know, I remember crying at my exit interview of my graduation because I was just completely exhausted. And I was like, okay, well, there was that. And then it was like, then I got my job and, you know, was starting my career. And I was like, okay. And then I bought a house and I kind of got to that feeling. And I was like, okay, got the house. And then it was like, got married. And it was just like, achieve, 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 promotion, promotion, promotion. But like, they all fell flat. And at the end of the day, I was like, oh, wait, like that wasn't even actually what I wanted. Well, it was what I was told to want.
You got me second guessing everything on my 411 sheet. We are going to have one hell of a coaching session on Wednesday. I will tell you that right now. Trisha's like, listen.
and look, I should also say I am not here. I'm not a guru in any way, shape or form. I don't have it all figured out. And I think that's actually the beauty about where I'm at is like, I am in the in-between. And, you know, I am so proud also for myself for how far I've come. And I also know it took a lot of walking away. And there's a part of my story that a lot of people don't know, and I'm going to share with you guys today, is that when I had my moment where this all came crumbling down, I'm going to call it a suicide adjacent moment, in that I didn't want to die per se, but I wanted that version of me to no longer be living.
Mm.
It was a moment where I just was like, I have this whole life that I've built and all of these accolades and everything, and I'm crying on the bathroom floor. My nervous system is dysregulated. My stomach is in pain every single day. I don't recognize the girl in the mirror. You know, I just was like wholeheartedly unhappy. And so I had to, you know, I took that moment and said, this, I have to make a change and I need to make myself proud. And then I spent the last year and a half working on that, and it wasn't pretty. I mean, I let go of the house. I sold my Jeep, you know, which I was so cool having my Jeep. I was a Jeep girl, you know, and I walked away from the job with no backup plan because, you know, I just was like, I cannot sacrifice my morals and my values. And this is so out of alignment that I just cannot do this. And that wasn't easy. Like I literally genuinely lost everything, including my dog.
Mm.
But what I can say is having given all that up, I have never felt more alive and connected and just at peace. And it's the craziest thing, is I'm just like, oh my gosh, I spent my whole life, you know, building up my bank account and accumulating all of these external things. And honestly, keep it. Because the peace that I feel within myself and the ability to work with other people to maybe prevent them from reaching that point of breakdown, you know, and getting clear on goals and everything, like, that honestly for me makes it all worth it.
Thank you for sharing that with us. It's so amazing to, like, as your friend to have watched this journey and see how you glow. Like, when you got in my car on Wednesday, like, you just, like, you're the exact same you, yeah. But you feel and, like, I guess they say, like, you glow different. I don't know how to, like
your aura.
Even, yeah, it's energy. Hard to even put into words because it hasn't even been that long since, well, I guess it's been a little while since I've seen you last because you went to Florida and then you went to South Carolina. It always feels like there's been no time between us, even when there's been months and months and months or years and years and years. But I could tell when you got in the car, like, everything, like, just, yeah, maybe it's the aura or whatever. Yeah. Like, you feel different. You look different. It's the peace. It's word vomiting, and you're just like, yeah,
it's all good.
You know? Trisha's like, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. But yeah. Then we went to yoga, yeah. And then we had meditation, and then I was like,
Then you were the fit Zen friend again. Yeah. So, yeah. Well, and this is, you know, it's interesting that you mentioned that, because this is with all of the work that I've done, you know, and healing gets used a lot, but it really is a healing. And so I can't stop using that term. I've done a lot of work, and it's not been pretty, and it's not like the what they romanticize and glamorize on, you know, social media and everything. Like, it was ugly. It was very, very ugly. Sobbing nights and 12-hour sleeps and, yeah, you know, things of that nature. And, you know, weight gain, weight loss, things that, you know, as I'm recalibrating. But I've come out of it on the other side. And just as you're saying, like, with the energy and whatnot, when I was in Florida, and especially when I was in the Carolinas, like, the Carolinas was my time for integration. Like, I just needed to kind of regroup and settle in. And I had some of the most amazing experiences. And people were sharing with me, like, they were mirroring that back to me, where they were like, you just have this energy about you. And, like, people are coming up and they're talking to me about, like, very intimate things in their life and asking me questions. And, like, also just, you know, I even had a gentleman that was walking by, and I was like, hey, how are you today? And he was like, honestly. And I was like, ooh, I love honesty if you want to go there. and he was like, I had to put my dog down this morning. And I was like, oh my gosh. And now I'm fresh a month off of going through that experience.
Right.
And I was like, I am actually equipped to hear, you know, listen to you. And I was like, did you want to talk about it? And we spend a half hour in this sweet older
gentleman. This man you've never met in your whole life.
He's a complete stranger, just walking down the boardwalk, complete stranger, is crying. And he's like, I don't know why he's like, first of all, I'm so sorry I'm crying. And, like, I don't know why I'm sharing this with you. You're a stranger. And a gentleman that was sitting next to me, he's like, I do. She does this all day. And it's like, but I'm just being present. And that's what I'm offering to people, is, like, I see you. Mm-hmm. And I hear you. And I may have already been there. And I just want you to know, like, it's okay. We're going to be okay. You're safe.
Yeah.
And we're going to get through this. And yeah, like, that's just so now
that fills you up. That fills your cup.
It fills my cup. So.
And it's amazing that the other thing I'm hearing is you're at a place with your realignment, you know, where you are observant and open, yes, to those opportunities to pour out. And I love how, like, God, universe, whatever you want to call it, like, you have those moments where, like, God places you. He put you there in that position and allowed you to be open so that you could talk to that guy.
Yes.
And you don't know, like, the amazing thing is like, you don't know what he went on and did with the rest of his day. But, like, you're hoping that he poured out to someone, and they poured out to someone, yeah, and they poured out to someone. And it's this beautiful circle of life where when you're pouring that positive energy out, it does go out, and yeah, it does its job.
It does. And that's it. And you know, that's one of the reminders that I want to give us is that we're not meant to do this life alone.
Amen.
You know, this is about taking care of each other in community. And again, let's go back to like taking care of each other does not have to be this grandiose thing. It does not have to be that you gift them $10,000. It can be giving them presents. Mm-hmm. Sitting here and having conversation, getting in the car and letting them trauma dump on you for 5 minutes, you know, and then telling them it's going to be okay. But we really, truly, I want us to come back to this community mindedness where we're showing up for each other and we're loving each other and we're understanding that we all have different experiences and backgrounds and everything, but like we're all still human and we all still need the same things.
Yeah, and like kind of going over to your comment, Kylie, with like, we're going to have to talk at 411. I want to really make sure that we accentuate the fact that like, we are not encouraging everybody to just like completely revamp your life. I think there's a lot to be said, and I've had to do this too, about recognizing like, just because you're not, you know, here doesn't mean you're not on your way there. And yeah. I had to do that with myself, too. Like, I don't need to change everything about my life. I get a lot of joy out of helping people find homes. What I need to do is live intentionally and recognize that, like, if I'm not pouring into myself and taking care of myself, and you said this, I can't show up for other people in mm-hmm. the best possible way.
Yeah.
And if I'm constantly seeking other people's approval and, you know, burning myself out and going hard and not stopping and working on the things that I need to work on, because I am a stuffer and you're a stuffer. Used to be a stuffer. And that happens with high achievers. You know, firstborn children.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Yeah, and the people that have been through trauma.
Sugar Brown. Ain't nobody got time for feelings.
Yeah. So we're not saying like, you know, everything has to change. No. What we're saying is really take audit of what you're doing day to day, how you're showing up for yourself and inside yourself. And are you? Some of the first things that I started to realize this was when I first went to go get a new car, right? And I got to pick any car I wanted, and I had no idea what I wanted.
Yeah.
What do I want? Ask yourself these simple questions. What do you want?
And why?
And why? What actually does success look like to you? And also understand that those things change mm-hmm. too. Yeah. What success looked like to me in this season of life yeah. is very different than this season of life, is very different than this season of life.
Yeah.
And that's important to keep taking yes. account of.
This is an ongoing exercise of, yes. of what brings me joy. Yeah. And that's the key. Like if you can really hone in on what brings me joy, you're going to unlock some gifts there. And
yeah.
and you're absolutely right. It does change. You know, what brings me joy in this phase of life is not the same as what brought me joy at 20. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, amen. I think that there's a lot of us that we're so busy and consumed and operating in this, you know, hustle culture that we're not taking a minute to stop and go, what brings me joy? Like, do I like roller skating or do I enjoy just going to a new coffee shop and trying a new coffee? Or, you know, it's these little things. Is it nature? Is it, you know, whatever it may be? We have to continue to have those conversations with ourselves of like understanding like who we are and what do we genuinely want and why do we want it?
Mm-hmm.
What's the why? That's one of the big things that I work on is the why underneath the why. Because what is that you want? You say you want this. What is it going to do for you?
Yeah.
Is it something external or is it a feeling? Because I know for me, most of my journey was acquiring these external things. But ultimately, at the end of the day, the thing that I was chasing was freedom. Yeah. I just wanted the feeling of freedom. And I thought all of these things were going to get me there, but actually they put me in a cage. So,
yeah. And I think when you realize, like, I don't really know. Like, anytime people would ask me, like, what's your favorite food? I don't know. What's your favorite movie? No idea. What's your favorite song? I have no clue. Because I spent so much time being a mom and being a boss and taking care of everybody else. Like, I had no idea what I liked. No idea what I liked. And I've been spending probably the last, like, 3 to 4 years
trying to figure that out. And it's okay if you're in your 30s or your 40s or your 50s or your 60s and you stop and really think, like, what does bring me joy? What do I want? And I've done a lot of crazy stuff. I jumped out of planes. I went to all these other countries. You know, I ran ultramarathon. And I'm still, like, learning and working that out and realizing, like, okay, no, this really doesn't, right? Like, it did maybe for a minute, but then it stopped. Okay, let's try something new. Yeah. Let's try something new. And it's good to try something new. Just like you went roller skating. I said, girl, I asked you if you want to go roller skating. You said, nope, don't like to do things I'm not good at. And you're like, really, you did? And you went roller skating and had the best ever time, right? But you also, like, will forget that you love things, yes, right? And so it's important to get back to the younger you sometimes.
Well, I also can access joy at that point. So, you know, what, you want to do something fun? That's weird. Not interested.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't. And that too.
I got to work.
We block our joy all the time.
Joy block.
Yeah.
Wow. This has been such an enlightening conversation. Like, truly, I'm taking so much away from this. And I just really hope all you listeners out there in listener land have, like, there was so much to take away. Please take one thing. Go back, re-listen, share with a friend. This was such a wonderful conversation with Nicole here. And
Nicole, tell them where they can find you.
Yes.
Yeah, where absolutely can we connect with Nicole?
So the best place probably is Instagram. So the Embody Shop on Instagram. And then I'm also hosting all of my offerings. So the Embody Lab or just my intuitive sessions. I have digital resources like my journals are all hosted on my Buy Me a Coffee. So we can link that in the show notes for them to find me there.
Yay!
Any last words? You have 44 seconds.
Oh my gosh. Okay, let's go. And so here's what I would say is that I think I do wholeheartedly believe that we are all coming to this realization that this life and the pace that we're living is just not working and it's not sustainable. So I think that we have to start with ourselves. And so individually working on getting ourselves regulated, so that then we can collectively start making some changes. But it's going to start there, coming from a regulated place. Because yeah, I mean, this, you know, the proving and pushing and performing, I think we all just really need to slow down and get back into more of a natural rhythm so that we can be healthy and happy and live in the world that we all imagined for ourselves.
Yay. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you, listeners, for joining us. We had a great time. Make sure you sub the show. Make sure you find us wherever you're listening right now. Just sub the show so you don't miss a single thing, because we drop fresh content here on Elite Life every Thursday. So come back next week for a fresh episode.
Yay. Bye.
Thank you for joining us today on the Elite Life Podcast with Trish and Kylie.
Don't forget to share this episode with a friend so we can keep delivering you more fantastic insights on grit, grace, and growth. Stay connected with us on Instagram and Facebook, where we'll keep the ideas flowing to help you build a life you love and leave a legacy you can be proud of. Until next time.